Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for What's Up, starring Jack and Dick Watts, the dynamic duo of deplorables who come to you each and every week teaching you about truth, justice, and, like Superman, the American way. Today we have, as usual, a power-packed show for you. Richard, how are you?
Good, but I think sometimes our show is a little bit like that old movie that you and I loved with Clint Eastwood. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Well, we talk, we're good, we talk about the bad, and sometimes it gets ugly. Any rate, this is, you know, it doesn't matter how much we uncover, how many things are revealed, until it's reported in the New York Times or Washington Post or MSNBC, NBC, one of the major left-wing news outlets. It isn't real until they establish it as real. Now,
you forgot CNN.
Actually, CNN's a little more discredited now because they're just—they're not just
so
hostile.
Far.
Like, yeah, they're militant, and you know, the New York Times sometimes puts out some really good stuff. So does the Washington Post. They aren't like 100%, but with CNN, there just about isn't anything that's fair or even-handed. But what came out this weekend with, or maybe it may have been Friday, with the New York Times, where they talk about the Trump being, you know, a potential Manchurian candidate for the Russians, and you know, the institution of an investigation into him shortly after his inauguration, but specifically within a few days of him firing Comey. And this, although he had every right to do it, constitutionally every right to do it under Comey, and let me just back up real quick. Comey assured Trump three different times that he was not the target of an investigation, but that wasn't true. He was the target, and Comey was lying to him. That in and of itself is, you know, should be grounds for firing somebody that, you know, that is working
lie to your boss
for the administration. And you know, the FBI, part of the Department of Justice, the Department of Justice has an attorney general. The attorney general is appointed by the president. That's the chain of command. And, you know, Comey didn't want Trump. Although the Democrats had been furious with Comey for the way he treated Hillary publicly, privately, you know, he kept her from going to jail. He kept her from being indicted. We don't know whether he kept her from going to jail because he couldn't, you know, that would have been literally up to a jury of her peers. But he did keep her from being indicted, and that was his goal. But with the whole thing, with the FBI turning around and using the Steele dossier and creating the narrative that Trump could be a Manchurian candidate, they made it up. Our secret police, that's what the FBI is. They made it up.
And do me a favor, Jack. Do me a favor. Go back for a second, because a lot of people that may be listening to this really don't know what the Manchurian Candidate stands for.
Well, now there is something. Manchurian Candidate was an old movie that, you know, had Frank Sinatra in it, and the Manchurian Candidate, I can't remember what his name is. He died very
wasn't
young.
Wasn't it Henry Fonda? It wasn't Frank Sinatra.
No, it was, I can see his face and everything. But the woman that played Miss Marple was his mom, and they, in Korea, took him, brainwashed him, and brought he and a few of his other people back, and they placed him right there to where he would, person who shot a presidential candidate so that the vice presidential candidate, who knew it was going to happen, would stand up and, you know, and would become president, and he would be the pawn of the Chinese communists who were behind the whole thing, and the Russians, who at that particular time.
So it's kind of like being a puppet, for a foreign country.
Yes, a puppet. Yeah. And yeah. So, you know, when Trump says, you know, Russia, if you're listening, you know, release the 30,000 emails, which, you know, when it happened, I thought it was a joke. The FBI and the left have to this day think that that was a serious thing. And, you know, which I just cannot imagine that how they would do that. And then when Trump met with Putin privately in Helsinki, that was, you know, where Trump was getting his orders from Putin. And of course, here's the thing, Dick. Since you've asked about this, like, tell everybody, the Russian economy is about $1.7 trillion a year. The U.S. economy is $22 trillion. So we are literally 13 to 15 times larger than Russia in our economy. That would kind of be like, you know, the state of Vermont dictating to New York State what to do because they were superior. Well, New York's huge. Vermont small. It doesn't happen. Wouldn't happen. Couldn't happen. Right. Didn't happen. There's no basis for any of this stuff in reality. But now it's starting to come out. But here is the thing that is so bothering to me and so troublesome. Okay, Comey got fired. McCabe got fired. Strzok got fired. Bruce Orr was demoted twice. Page quit. And Precep, I'm not sure what happened to him, but he's gone. So all of these people are gone, but there have been no consequences to them. Okay, they got fired, but they've done criminal things, major criminal things, tried to unseat an elected president because they don't like him. And they thought he was after them, which, of course, he has been. And thanks to that fool, Jeff Sessions, nothing else is ever going to happen with this. But I don't think that it would have anyway. That's the point of today's little thing that we're talking about. I don't think that there was anything I don't think that there's anything that they would be able. They're getting away with this, Dick. There's no consequence.
Well, hey, listen, Hillary did, or has. So, it's just ho hum. Yeah, they did some bad things. Ho hum.
They want to put, I mean, they want, you know, Carter, they want to put people in jail for doing nothing while allowing people who really are guilty of things to walk free. I mean, here you've got Trump. There is zero evidence that there's ever been a dollar passed between him and Russia in business or anything else. The very worst thing you could say is maybe somebody from Russia has stayed at one of his hotels, but they just paid the regular rate that other people would pay. So that's not an emolument thing, because if it is an emolument thing, then anybody who has ever eaten, you know, John Kerry should have recused himself running for president or being Secretary of State for anybody who's ever, you know, eaten ketchup on their French fries.
Yeah.
That's just normal business, you know, that his wife owns all of the ketchup around.
Heinz.
These are big, and go ahead. I'm dominating. Go ahead.
The Heinz family, that's, I just want to make sure people know that ketchup and whatever fortune.
Well, you know, Trump owns hotels. They're trying to, you know, one of the things they're trying to say is that he's in violation of the emoluments clause, you know, which is having, you know, because there are people that stay at his hotels and are paying freight, so therefore the governments are giving him money. That's just nonsensical, and it won't go anywhere because nobody with a brain would say that. It's just ludicrous as you know, saying that people that use ketchup on their French fries are somehow, if there are enemies, are giving, you know, money to John Kerry and his wife. That's just, you know, it's just silly and, you know, isn't going to go anywhere. But at the same time, these people, where there's been nothing that's passed, no money between Trump and Russia, and yet there's demonstrable and provable evidence that $145 million minimum has gone to Hillary. And, oh, by the way, she was the one in charge of the Uranium One, which took 20% of our uranium and gave it to Russia. It wasn't, even though, you know, it was to a Russian company, it wasn't supposed to leave the U.S., but, oh, doggone, they couldn't find it. Now it's gone, and nobody knows where it is except that we do, because it's in Iran, and they're using it to make bombs to take care of Jerusalem and Tel Aviv and New York City.
And us, yeah.
Yeah, and that's okay, because they're, you know, they're on one side. But they're trying to make everything, honestly, you know, it's like, all right, you know, Hi, My Name Is Jack, you know, my very first wife was Mona. And, you know, Mona accused me of running around as her defense because she was
running around.
Yeah. So this is what the FBI has done where Trump and Hillary are concerned. They have taken what she did and they have essentially reconfigured it to make it what he did. And they went after him and they created an investigation where there was no predicate for anything, no evidence of any wrongdoing. So essentially, they did the one thing that a free society never does. The FBI is supposed to investigate crimes, not people. So they investigated Trump. It's like there's something wrong with him, and you know we're gonna take him out. All the way to you know this whole thing to where Rosenstein, you know, went into a meeting and says, "What the F do you want me to do? Wear a wire when I'm you know when I'm with him, to try and trip him up some way." This is how insistent they were about taking down a duly elected president of the United States of America. This sneaky little weasel, Andrew McCabe, and his little counterpart, Peter Strzok, and Peter Strzok's whore, Lisa Page, among others. And this, you know, we haven't talked about this for a while because there really hasn't been much new. And now with the Democrats being in control because they're more fools in America than not, you know, we've got all this stuff going. Well, listen, we've got a guest. Let me take it in here. This is Jack Watcher on the air. Who are we talking to?
Yes, sir. My name's David. Please take my call.
How are you, David?
Doing well, sir. How about yourself?
Great. Did you have a question?
Yes, sir. I was hoping to get your thoughts on the whole government shutdown and the border wall debate that's going on. Do you think that it'll be successful and that Trump will get the funding for the wall, or do you think that the Republicans and Trump will cave in and just let it go?
Well, this is you got us off of what we were talking about to get on the wall, but we needed to do that because that was going to be the second half of the show anyway. So thank you, David. To begin with, the wall is $6 billion, essentially, right in there. That is change in Washington. Obama, when he sent those planes over to Iran, put $150 billion on planes. Where the hell he ever got it, who knows? And they took cash over to Iran and gave it to them. We're talking about $6 billion, not much money. Why is it that they are so adamant about this? The reason is if Trump gets the wall, he's unbeatable in 2020. And they know it.
And they know it.
So they can't cave. The Democrats can't cave. Trump, if he caves, won't be a two-term president. He'll be a one-term president. So he can't cave, and he won't cave anyway. Because he's, you know, so what he is doing, in my estimation, finding another way to build this wall that will not get stymied by the courts so that he can have as most of what he promised for the wall. I mean, we've got a year and three quarters before the next presidential election. And, you know, they built 200 or 300 miles. He's going to have, I'd say, 800 to 1,000 miles of it in order to claim victory. And for the 2,300 miles that is from the Pacific to the Gulf of Mexico border, you may need 1,800, 1,700, maybe 1,600. There are hundreds and hundreds of miles that are so rough that nobody could do it. I mean, no matter what they wanted to do. But if he gets this wall, he's unstoppable. This little $6 billion, this is nothing, a rounding error in Washington. Literally. I did the math about 2 weeks ago, and it's like, 0.00006 federal budget. So that 0.6 of a percent nothing. But the importance of it is unbelievable. Do I think he's going to cave? Hell no, I do not. And
no.
If he does, well, he just isn't going to do it. You know, the one thing that, you know, I would love for President Trump to make me his tweet czar. If he did, his popularity go way up, because I wouldn't, you know, just bite at all of the stupid things that are happening and use it a little more judiciously, because it costs him a lot. But at the same time, you know, he has been strong on everything that he has said he would do. When presidents are elected, you know, you hope that they do the things that they promise they'll do, and they rarely do. Honestly, I was expecting him to be about, you know, 30% on what he said he would do, and I would count it really well. But he has to work every day and says, what am I going to do today to keep the promises I've made? That's upping the bar for everybody that is running for president from now on, is what I think. All right, Dick, do you have something you want to add to this?
Well, I was going to say, based off of looking for an answer, is the Democrats, when Obama was in office, voted for the walls. And now the border guards, the people down there that are actually fighting the fight, they want the wall. So it just seems to me that eventually America's going to come around and say, you know what, if we're going to end this thing for the government, but they'll cave when it comes to, all right, well, let's do something for DACA, let's do something. So, because in the long run, I think the longer it goes on, the more people are realizing it, that it's the Democrats are not coming to the table and negotiating, and Trump is willing to negotiate in order to get it done. But like Jack said, they don't want him to get it done, and the American people put him in office to get it done.
To do it. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And
if I could just disagree with one thing you guys brought up, because you guys both mentioned that if he does get it built, then he's guaranteed to win again in 2020.
Say that again. I didn't hear you.
No, I was saying that you mentioned that point about if he does get the wall built, then he's definitely going to get reelected in 2020. I'd have to slightly disagree in the sense that, like I voted for Trump in 2016, but I don't think there's any way he's winning in 2020 unless he runs against Joe Biden. But if it's anyone else, he's basically guaranteed to lose. There's no way he's going to get reelected.
You mean like Elizabeth Warren or Joe Biden?
I don't think Elizabeth Warren would win. I mean, if it was someone like Bernie Sanders or Beto O'Rourke, just a generic Democrat, it doesn't really matter. As long as it's not, because Joe Biden is the one guy that he would be able to beat, because Joe Biden, there's tons of videos of him doing creepy things with children, and it's this, and he could nickname him Pedo Joe. And no, I'm actually dead. It's not a joke. I'm serious.
Oh,
like,
I know.
Joe Biden. Yeah. Okay, so you guys are aware of what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he's
Joe
crazy.
Biden would be the easy one. But the reason I'm saying that Trump's not going to get reelected, it has a lot more to do with what's going on in the Midwest. Like, I'm from Minnesota, and I remember in 2016 seeing this overwhelming Trump support all throughout the upper Midwest, you know, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, Iowa, everywhere in the upper Midwest, there was huge Trump support. It was massive. And what I noticed amongst the Democrats up here is a lot of the Democrats did not like Hillary Clinton at all. So a lot of people just opted not to vote who were Democrats, just because they didn't like Hillary, they didn't like Trump, they said, forget it, I'm not going to vote. And that's why we saw a low Democrat turnout. And that's really why Trump won. I mean, if you look at the margins he won in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, these are razor-thin margins he won by. And so in 2020, that's not going to be the case.
David, do you think that this country is willing to listen to a Democrat talk about socialism and where they want to put this country? And don't you think that Trump is going to jump all over that, especially with our economy? As it continues to grow, which it is, I'm afraid that that the middle class people are going to say, give me four more years of this. Give me four more years of extra money in my pocket. And socialism.
Well, you know, of course. We're, you know, all of this is to be seen, but David has a very good point. The strength in the upper Midwest, you know, with Trump winning, you know, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, all, well, Ohio was a comfortable victory, but the rest were very small, that he's got to do well there, and we'll just see how well that plays. I do agree with you, David, that, you know, that he is vulnerable up there, but we'll just see what happens. And listen, thank you for calling, and please call again. And you have a nice day, and do us a favor and root for the Patriots.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys. You guys have a good day.
Bye-bye. I didn't really think that he'd say yes, but we loved him rooting for the Patriots and everybody else. But you know, Dick, this is a big deal. This is if Trump hits the wall, and my guess is he's finding ways to get things done as we speak that people don't know about, and that, you know, that there's things happening, because this is. Clearly the issue. And, you know, all of this Democratic stuff saying it's immoral, which it isn't. I mean, why would it be immoral? And, you know, if it will stop these, you know, these caravans and all the rest of it, it will bring some order to the southern border. And, you know, here's the thing. We're $21 trillion in debt. We cannot take on the responsibilities of people that are not our own. We've got – that's a lot of debt. That's a year's worth of debt. Go ahead.
Well,
we're behind a year's worth.
Yeah. The thing that gets me is like California with this Newsom, you know, and we're going to support this and that. And what happened today? Their teachers' union went on strike because, and it's the biggest school district in the country. They went on strike because they haven't had a contract, and they're not offering them what they're worth because they're putting their money in the wrong area. That's going to backfire on California. Big time.
California's got, you know, California was the jewel of the country, you know, 40 years ago, 50 years ago. Now people are leaving in droves. I mean, you know, California Dream came out in the 60s. It would never come out again. What are you talking about, California Dreaming of leaving?
Oh, it'd be a nightmare now.
And they have the largest number and largest percentage of people who have a ninth grade education or less in America. And those numbers used to fall to Appalachian states. Now it's California, the jewel of America. Why? Because we're taking in people that have no skills and lots of trouble.
And no money.
And you know, we got to stop doing it. Listen, we're out of time. We're rooting for the Patriots, folks, next week. You know, it's not Kansas City, but Patriots. So we'll just say, God bless you. God bless. Tom Terrific. And we will talk to you all next week. And God bless America, too. Good night.